Well, you know what? If it's Shakespeare, then I guess I can give him a pass because he's fucking dead. I'm not gonna shit talk him while he's in the ground. But I like them to fight back.
I would love to get Scrooged.
Ooh, I'm a candlestick!
You remember your childhood trauma? Cool, anyway.
Shoes off podcast.
You just wanna get a peek at my feet.
GLaDOS is a MILF.
He needs a little tummy smooch.
Anyway, I'm in prison. Da da da.
To just bamboozle people.
Technically, Scrat might be God.
Did you forget about your donor?
I don't wanna talk about it!
Good evening to only those who know that, technically, Ed Gein, in a colloquial sense, wasn't a necrophiliac.
Welcome to Genre Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture mucousy and semi-permeable.
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swearing podcast. We both have degrees and you're just gonna have to trust us on this. His name is Diggs Brown.
Her name is Annalie Tominelli, and this is Genre Blind. Now no longer sponsored by fucking anyone, baby!
Yeah, we're back to the poorhouse. Woo!
No more dolphins.
I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. The dolphins, they were pretty bad. But they did sponsor hot tubs, you know?
Yeah.
They sent champagne every day.
I think that was to keep us, like...
docile?
Yeah.
Docile and soggy?
I think they figured if they pumped us full of champagne, we wouldn't try and do anything.
And you know what? It kind of worked.
You know, it worked. We waited quite a while.
And you know what? I was still gorged on champagne.
I don't even like champagne.
But it was the hot tub combined with the champagne.
It was the champagne hot tub.
The body chocolate, I'm gonna be honest, that got a little bit weird.
I liked that.
I kind of liked the champagne. So it was
I liked how perfectly smooth and blubbery they were and scraping the chocolate off of them when it
hurt. God damn it. Well, luckily they're gone. No more dolphin body chocolate. No more champagne.
Did you like the body shots out of their blowholes?
I did. That was, again, taking champagne shots out of a dolphin blowhole is gonna give you a lot of bubbles, and it's gonna be a pretty acidic time.
It was like the perfect measurement, though. Their blowholes are like a perfect shot glass.
I know. Those dolphins, they know how to party.
They really do. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, every once in a while a dolphin raves. But they're now dead, and
they're
thank God.
They're now dead, and because we hate them.
Because we hate them a lot. They can't bribe us with gifts, because they suck.
Dolphins are bad, no matter what anyone tells you. Fuck them. But don't fuck them. Don't fuck them.
Don't fuck the dolphins.
Because they're fish.
They're fish. They're bad fish.
Would you like a trope?
Oh man, wait. First of all, how are you doing? How are you doing? I know you want to jump right on.
I don't
want to
talk about
trope,
it.
But like, I was like,
I don't want to talk about how I'm doing.
All right, never mind. Start
Is
with
this
the trope.
Therapy?
Yeah. Hey, how are you feeling right now? What energy are you bringing to the table?
Well, Dr. Lecter, I gotta tell you,
No. Tell me, Will. So, I guess then, you know, first trope away.
This one, I think you're really gonna enjoy.
Okay.
The Gambit pileup.
The Gambit pileup?
A Gambit pileup, and this is directly from TV Tropes, involves two or more people with completely different, separate agendas, each hatching complicated plans. The storyline is thrown into chaos, and even the most savvy fans can't predict how it will end. So it's just bit upon bit upon bit.
And then it gets just increasingly convoluted.
Exactly. Exactly. So this happens, I feel like, every other episode in Doctor Who. End of Time is like this. The Master is trying to use the Doctor and the rest of the Time Lords to initiate his will on Earth and replace himself with everyone, but Rassilon is trying to use the Master and the Doctor to put the Time Lords into just being a consciousness, while the Doctor is trying to use the Master to effectively get Gallifrey from replacing her. It just like bit upon bit.
Yeah. That's something a lot of heist movies will do.
Yes.
This. I don't like to summon the Rick and Morty fans, but there is a kind of Rick and Morty play on this trope. They have like a heist bot where the plan gets more and more convoluted. They're like, oh yeah, I knew that you were going to do that, and that's why I plan to do this. And then the heist bot is like, no, because I knew that you were going to do that, so I plan to do this. And it was a double cross on a double cross on a double cross.
Right.
Kind of this snake eating its tail of double crossing.
The entirety of Act 5 of Homestuck is this?
Really?
And Act 6. I'm not even gonna go into it.
It's convoluted, but it's also impressive.
It's fabulous.
A sweeping narrative.
Yes.
This isn't quite Gambit pileup, but I recently finished reading The Count of Monte Cristo, and he's on this very convoluted revenge plot. It's just plots on plots on plots on plots, The Count of Monte Cristo, and I love it when that happens.
This is a real life thing, too. How much do you know about the Unabomber?
Like, a decent amount?
So obviously the thing he's famous for is, like, mailing people bombs, right?
Right.
But there was one occasion where he put the address on it, but intentionally didn't put enough postage on it, so it would get sent to the return address, which is the actual place he was trying to send it to.
What?
But they sent it to the mailing address anyway, because they didn't check the postage.
So was that good or was that bad?
No.
For the Unabomber?
So he just someone still got bombed, but like the wrong someone.
The wrong somebody got bombed. That's awesome.
He was playing 4D chess against himself.
Yep,
he couldn't have just sent it. He had sent previous bombs and no one figured out it was him. So
Yep. All according to plan.
It's
the
true.
Plan.
I'm Kira.
Actually, like a little bit of in Death Note.
When Nier replaces one of the Death Notes with the fake one, but then actually that one was fake, and then the other one is somewhere else, but then
he's like, oh, I knew that would happen, which is why I kept an extra one in my watch. And then he's I knew that was gonna happen, so that's why I copied the whole Death Note, like, verbatim. I'm like, this is crazy. This is all very convoluted and crazy.
I knew Kira would try and kill me while I gave the press conference. That's why I did this.
Oh, it's so good. Because it's all a bunch of brainy people being like, I'm going to be the brainier of the brainy. It's great.
This happens in the Magnus archives. Because all 14 entities are doing a thing at all times.
Wow.
And they're all just like...
they're all trying to do their plots.
That's why I gave him spiders.
Yeah.
So that he would... eyes.
It all comes down to the spiders, though, you know?
Well, this trope is spiders.
Which is actually what I love about the way that the Magnus Archives kind of does the web, is that it's this unknowable thing.
Ha! Oh, but they didn't do the unknowing! What if I simply walked across the Brooklyn Bridge horizontally?
Wait, I'm sorry.
What if I start walking across the bridge like an adult,
and
then I take a sharp left turn?
Okay. See, when you said walk across the Brooklyn Bridge horizontally, there was a very unsettling image in my mind of you, like, being horizontal while also walking, so moving through space like a little Diggs torpedo across the Brooklyn Bridge.
I only move on the Z-axis.
I was like, I don't know what that, like, almost, you know, in you know, the bowler hat man from House.
We'll just have to reset the fragment links and supersede the binary. Donna!
Wait, what is it? You know what this is. Hill House. Hill House? Haunting of Hill
is
House.
It Hill?
It's Hill House. Yeah. Haunting of Hill House. The bowler hat man. You know how his feet don't touch the ground?
I have only read the book, Annalie.
I know this. But
The fellow that you send me videos of that you don't like?
Yes, that one. The bowler hat man.
Yeah, that's how I walk.
Yeah, right, without feet touching ground, but also even worse because now you're horizontal just walking.
My feet have never touched the ground.
Well, do you have feet? Do you have ground to touch?
I don't look at my own feet.
Yeah, that's gay.
It is. Do you remember that one time when I was super sleep deprived and I was on a FaceTime call with someone and I had like my, you know, when you're like laying on your bed and you have your feet like up, like behind you,
you know what I'm talking about?
And I, in the little like FaceTime window, saw my feet and I hallucinated that they were like elongated like Gollum's feet and I had a breakdown.
Wow, that's
and
terrible.
Then I stopped looking at my feet after midnight.
Yeah, well, so that makes a lot of sense. I do remember that. I was hiding in your closet for it.
Perfect.
I was
you
keeping in on
you elongated my feet.
I came in, I grabbed them little tootsies and I pulled them like some taffy.
Delicious.
Taffy. I swapped your toes in the night. I pulled your taffy. Yeah, right?
I taffy pulled your little tootsie toes.
As I'm often known to do.
Right, as you are wont to do. It's your favorite. Because you love feet.
I'm the piggy puller, don't you know?
Well?
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital.
I'm the flesh yanker. It's gonna get worse.
The bone turner?
The bone turner.
Do you have a tale to tell me?
Yes, don't you know? Give me one of your ribs now.
No!
Aw, but I'll give it to you to keep in your desk.
No.
Not my ribs.
No, my boss likes to look in my desk sometimes. I don't know why.
Like in real life?
Yeah, I know she opens my drawer sometimes.
Keep something really troubling in there.
You think I don't have troubling things in my desk?
Well.
My fucking ribs.
John Sims, snatched. Always snatched. Can wear Lord. Proper corset now.
Oh my god. He can suck his own dick if he wanted to. Marilyn Manson style.
The bone turner is just like, you have to give me one of your ribs. And he's like, done. And he's like, okay, I thought that you were going to take a bit more time to talk about that. And he's like, no, no, it's fine. Oh, whoa, whoa is me. I guess I'll give you my ribs.
Uh-oh.
Don't take my rib. Oh, no. Don't take both of my ribs.
Oh, no. I hope nobody kidnaps my archivist who works at the Magnus Archives London.
Slide me another one of them juicy, ripe, and scrumptious little troperuskies.
I think you are the Gambit pileup.
Oh, shit, we gotta do the who is who is. Oh, the Gambit pileup. You think I'm the Gambit pileup?
I think it's you.
Bold of you to assume that I can keep anything straight, let alone...
Exactly.
Let alone a convoluted plot.
You, though, are more likely to, when someone says something, to be like, ah-ha-ha, however.
Gotcha.
You play four-dimensional chess in our group chat for...
I appreciate that. Okay, I will accept this honor humbly. Humbly accept this honor. I can keep so few things straight in my brain. But that's the thing, like, you're the author.
I keep everything straight. I write it down.
You've got a very nicely organized desktop, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the one who puts it in order and explains it after the fact.
That's fair.
So this next trope, which I do promise was completely random.
Mm-hmm.
Motherly scientist.
Wowza.
So there's a couple variations of this. So like the most basic definition is just scientist who is also a mother, whether it's like caring for test subjects or like you're a special kid with great potential, like whatever that happens to be. But it's not a strictly like gendered term. It's a parental figure. However, this is not a strictly like, oh, someone coming to like care for their test subjects thing. This can obviously become evil very fast.
Like with Shao Tucker.
Yes.
Fatherly. But does that count as this?
So there's a difference between just like being a parent who is a scientist.
Right. Okay.
So there's like a couple categories of this. There's the they're like my own children scenario where they just kind of like bond to their subjects. There's after researching a non-human subject for a while and giving it a name, the doctor's nurturing instincts finally kick in. And
yeah.
So they have like a bond. And then there's the Pinocchio scenario, which has several variations. So I...
Right off the bat, there's Dr. Tannenbaum from Bioshock, who makes the little sisters.
Yes.
So she's like, you gotta help these little children out.
Mm-hmm. We actually specifically talked about that, I think, in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. The morality index with video games.
Yep.
Dr. Medusa,
yeah. Well, before she goes, you know...
It's like an inversion of it.
Yeah.
Where she actually is a mother, but... Instead of science bonding her to Krona, it,
Yeah.
And then it's true for Stein, kind of, in a way, too. Like, he kind of fills, like, the dad role for, like, the main group.
Oh, totally.
Like, he's...
Totally. Like, the guiding mentor. Not to do the Full Metal Alchemist again, Winry is...
Full Metal Alchemist.
But Winry is kind of in that she is like an automail mechanic and so like kind of more of like an engineer, but she's also very maternal.
Definitely.
Same thing with Izumi in that she's like this incredible, you know, alchemist, so therefore kind of a scientist, but she's also a housewife.
Right.
Just a housewife. There's also Princess Bubblegum from from...
Oh, yeah. Adventure Time.
Adventure Time. And that she sees, like, the candy people as her children, but she's also, you right. know, like a little bit of a... Like, there's the lemon grab thing.
This trope, I think, is also GLaDOS.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so, like most pieces of media with a huge power imbalance, mm-hmm. Portal can be read as a romance or a parental child relationship, much in the same way that like Frankenstein works that way.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can either read GLaDOS and Chell as like a romance, right? With like, you know, it's a very toxic relationship. They're super bad for each other, but right. God damn it, they just can't quit it.
Right.
Or right. as like GLaDOS slowly becoming fond of Chell, but not being able to break out of her programming, and so just like they make GLaDOS is a MILF.
Oh, there we go. See, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Frankenstein also would.
It depends on how you read it.
It depends on how you read it.
It's definitely true in like in young Frankenstein, right? Like,
sure.
He was definitely Frankenstein. He made a creature and then ended had like parental feelings or whatever. Whereas Victor made himself a boyfriend and then was like, ah, now I know how God felt.
Yeah. Oh, man. Motherly scientists.
They're all so hot.
Well, there we go.
They're all hot.
All of the scientists are hot.
All scientists are hot. All... GLaDOS is the only entity I'll ever call mommy.
Well,
and that's what
damn.
I have to say about that.
Well, damn. So I think that probably this one would be you.
Yeah. That's how I feel about my creations. I feel very responsible for all of them, but I also hate all of them. But yeah. only I'm allowed to hate them and no one else.
Yeah, that's like the kind of endearing thing about your relationship with Romeo the cat, in that you're like, ah, Romeo the cat, the worst cat, the bad cat. And then you're just like, come here, Romeo, let me slink you around. You're a good cat.
He's a fucking war criminal.
Yeah, except for here's the thing, you love him a lot. It's this very endearing, ugh, he's so annoying. He's just like walking all over things. I'm just gonna lift him up like a baby and smooch his tummy.
Well, he needs it. He needs a little smooch.
He needs a little tummy smooch.
Little kiss on his tum-tum. would the way Justin and Griffin McElroy act towards the Monster Factory creations count as this?
Well, it depends on which one. I think absolutely. Well, here's the thing. I know that this is a little bit silly, but anytime one makes something, even as a goof, as an artist, you're like, my beautiful child, my very ugly, ugly
right,
child.
Right, it's your creation.
Yeah, it's just like, I hate this. I hate this fucking thing. But if you mm-hmm. if you insult it, I'll come for your throat.
Specifically, Fallout 76, the way they behaved when the original slime burger got.
Yeah.
They're motherly scientists.
Yeah. You know, you gotta love the things that you make. I think that they would definitely count under this trope.
I also think that's just how Justin McElroy lives his life.
I have to take off my shoes. I've been recording with heels on.
Why do you have shoes on?
Man, I don't know. It helps the momentum. We're taking off
shoes
my shoes.
Shoes off podcast.
Shoes off podcast. You just want to get a peek at my feet.
Yeah, I'm trying to see them toes. I'm trying to see which ones you switched.
Well, see, the thing is now the listeners to Genre Blind are going to be like, wow, this is a little bit scandalous. Not shod no more.
You don't know what I'm wearing.
So actually, let me tell you a little bit about my feet.
About your feet?
And that is a detailed count of exactly every outfit that I've worn during Genre Blind.
My favorite was the fourth one you described. I really liked the shoulders.
Thank you. I made them specifically for Genre Blind.
I love it.
My shoulders, not the outfit. Give me that next trope.
Angel unaware.
What?
Angel unaware is a character or entity that is implied to be, but not necessarily explicitly described or defined as, an angelic being or divine messenger.
Whoa,
sometimes it's revealed in the story, sometimes not. So sometimes this gets used in like the sacred hospitality thing where it's like, help this person because you never know who's Jesus in disguise, like that thing.
Yeah.
It also can be in like angels in overcoats, which is just like angels disguising themselves as like humans.
Damn,
Mary
I
Poppins
love that.
Is this.
Oh shit.
Because, like, yeah. She'll be real regular, and then she'll just be like, I'm sitting, like, in a cloud bank putting on my makeup.
There's also, well, I mean, I guess guess they kind of come out like Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life, but right. He's just like, he just seems like a dude, and you're like, he says he's an angel and he can do miraculous things, but he doesn't have his wings yet.
Yeah. Oh, I think he like, definitely counts.
Also, sorry, I'm just rattling. I love this trope.
It's such a good trope.
Love this trope. It's also in Black Butler, the person watching over the Queen of England.
Oh, yes, Angela and Ash.
Yeah, Angela and Ash are both angels, but you don't learn that until a little bit later.
Right.
And you're like, oh, these guys are actually assholes.
These guys suck. This is a thing a little bit in 30 Rock.
Yeah, how that one guy...
With Kenneth.
Yeah, Kenneth. Which is so good, because 30 Rock is like not a mystical show,
no,
right?
No, it's just Kenneth.
It's only Kenneth that is...
Not yet, Jacob. I need more time with them. Judging is for God and his angels, so yes.
That's my favorite thing. Oh, I especially love it when very straight-laced things have just like one or two like, wait a second, is this is he a fucking angel? What's going on
like
there?
In the movie Love Actually, one of the characters is supposed to actually be an angel, and then it just kind of got cut.
Which one?
It's the guy who Mr. Bean played, that one.
Oh my God.
It was a thing, and then it wasn't. You know what I mean?
That is so good.
Same with, it also got cut in The Room.
What?
Where they were all supposed to be, there was like a whole subplot of them all being like vampires or something, and then they just like cut it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that Tommy Rousseau thinks that he's a vampire, or like has claimed to be a vampire.
Well, he's D.B. Cooper.
Ooh, yeah. What?
I think he might be D.B. Cooper. I will not elaborate.
Cool. That's understood. That's totally fine. Yeah. Oh, also, who's that guy from Lord of the Rings? The guy who's just like the Tom Bimbadon?
Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil. So he's not really an angel, but he is like a very powerful being.
Yeah. And it's just kind of never addressed.
And it's never really addressed. He's just like, oh, hello, I'm going to help you out. Anyway, off I go. My name's Tom Bombadil. And you're like, what? Who was that? What was that?
This is, I think, an unintentional thing in The Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator, where at the end of both of them, Herbert West dies, and then in the beginning of the next film, he's just there again, no questions asked.
Which is so good, because it makes Herbert West out to be, like, this cosmic force of bad science.
When he is so specifically just a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no one who is more just a guy.
And yet,
he for real dies at the end of both. And, like, the first one you can forgive, because, like, technically in the original cut of that film, he was also, like, microdosing on reagent the whole time. So, like, could be like, okay, he had enough in his system, and if it's maybe administered when you're still alive, like, whatever. There's a... And he got sucked in, like, a Lovecraft portal instead of, like, just dying. At the end of the second one, he gets torn apart by undead and then, like, a collapsing roof.
Yeah, he, like, gets crushed underneath.
He, like, dies for real.
Yeah.
And then,
they really tried to end that franchise, and then people were like,
Beyond
no.
Reanimator, he's just like, anyway, I'm in prison, da-da-da.
Anyway, I'm back. Wait, he goes to prison? Good.
Yeah, he's in prison.
put that man behind bars.
No, because then the person who works at the prison is like, I've always admired your work, and he's like, theme song intensifies.
I'm just a cheeky, cheeky little body thief. Would Bride of Reanimator count as motherly scientist a little bit?
I don't know if either of them had particularly parental feelings towards.
Yeah.
I think they were both pretty rock hard for that.
Well, there we go. Well,
although Herbert does have his whole like God thing.
Yeah, I feel like God complex versus, you know, like paternal. It's all tied up together.
Yeah, I would think if anyone, Herbie.
Y'all. I love the angel unaware because it's just like a little slip in of the mystical. Because I love one of my favorite like trope characteristics is something very average being very miraculous.
Right.
You know? It's like the normal one, like the schleppy one who ends up being like the omni fucking like mega person.
Mm-hmm.
Like when people get too grand, I'm like, okay, calm down. You know? But when it's just like a random little, I don't know, squirrel who happens to also control the weather, you know?
Well, okay, that's the whole Ice Age thing.
Kind of.
Is that like technically Scrat might be God?
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
How he like dies a gruesome death every time, or like something, like is constantly trying to get that nut all the time.
There's like a whole thing.
That's best case scenario, because if Scrat is God, that makes more sense than anything else in the whole world.
All hail Scrat.
My God.
My God is Scrat.
My God in Scrat we trust, but we never really knows what got discussed.
Click, boom, and it happens.
But no one else is in the room where it happened.
Alexander Hamilton. What do they say to you to me?
What? What? Take the bullets out your gun. What? The bullets out your gun? What? You want me to wait? Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up.
We are outgunned.
What?
Outman.
What?
Outnumbered, outplanned. Pay your fucking taxes.
What? We're what? There's just the one person. I identify the most as the one confused person in Hamilton who always says what.
I identify the most as during one of the cabinet battles when they all shout the names of states, mm-hmm. the guy who says Florida.
God damn.
Despite it not being a colony.
Florida.
Florida.
That is so good. I love it when angels. Did you spend a lot of time in your youth drawing the demon ward and the angel ward?
Yeah. Yeah, I was Catholic.
Yeah, right?
You start getting real sus about people, especially around the holidays. Like a weird man comes up to you in public and you're like, Michael?
That's the thing. It's always like some rando comes up to you and you're just like, it's the holidays. Am I about to be put into like a bad Hallmark Christmas movie where I like learn the meaning of holiday spirit?
I would love to get Scrooged.
Oh my God, are you kidding? You're itching to get Scrooged one day.
I would love it.
All the ghosts are different versions of me being like, hey Diggs, remember that crazy shit that happened?
It's gonna be you putting on silly outfits and coming through my window.
Breaking through your window like, hey. Welcome. Let's go eat some food. I'm the present, the Christmas present.
He'll be like, wait, but Christmas past hasn't come. He'll be like, oh, fuck. Hold on.
Give me a second.
Ooh, I'm a candlestick.
Remember when you were a kid? Anyway, let's go eat some food now. Are we done?
You remember your childhood trauma? Cool. Anyway, right now.
We gotta go have some Christmas cheer. Christmas cheer. I want to get Scrooged, but like Halloween version of Scrooged.
Where they're like, you're doing too good in your life. You have to be more evil.
Yeah. Villain arc. Halloween Scrooge.
Instead of ghosts, they're a bunch of like regular people who are like, hey.
Hey, be worse.
No, because then you're going to show up as the ghost of Christmas future, and then that, you'll just kill me.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that'll be the thing.
Wouldn't that be a great bookend to your life? Didn't you dress up as the ghost of Christmas future once?
Yeah, I was the ghost of Christmas future for Halloween. Fourth grade.
Yeah, that's cultural appropriation. Yeah. So
of what? Of Victorian boys?
Of me when I'm gonna come and kill you.
I went to school deep in the woods of Oregon, where of course half the people that go there are crazy hippies and the other half are like rich white people.
Right.
And so there was a lot of suspicion of witches. This is not a joke.
Good.
People were very worried about witchcraft.
Okay.
Especially because we live near Forest Park. So there was like a good number of like, you know, people that literally just live in those woods,
yeah.
And like do ritual things and
yeah.
Like, you know, it be like that.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of like fear of like cults and witches and the supernatural and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in an effort to like make Halloween less of like a Samhain like witch holiday,
mm-hmm.
We were allowed to dress up, but only if it was something from a book, and then we would have to like bring the book with us, which like honestly is not a bad idea for an elementary school. Like that kind of encourages reading and it's fun and like,
yeah,
you know,
that's
whatever.
Great.
You can still, you have like a whole wide world of things to dress up as.
Sure.
But because it was an elementary school, they kind of felt like, oh, okay, we'll be limited to like kids' books. There'll be a lot of kids dressed as Harry Potter and Percy Jackson,
yeah.
And Diary of a Wimpy Kid and things like that. And I'm like, I am the ghost of Christmas future, and I have a hood on and chains and white gloves, and I am not going to say anything all day. And they tried to send me home, and I was like, ooh, hoo, hoo. I brought the Christmas Carol with me.
I brought the book, and you can't stop me.
All of my shorts.
I also, I don't know if you remember this, but in high school, just on Halloween, would wear a dark cloak to school and stand mm-hmm. in corners of hallways and scare people because I was an asshole.
I distinctly definitely remember this, the year you got really into Night Vale.
Oh, yeah?
Because you did the whole hoodless figures in the dog park thing.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that. Wowza.
That was cool. That was fun.
But that's the thing. Like, I would just, like, follow randos down the hallway, and I would always wear heels, so I'd be as tall as possible, and, like, I would wear, a head-to-toe cloak, and they would, like, be very frightened, and I would just follow them slowly down a hallway, or just, like, stand in corners and freak people out, and nobody had a good time except for me.
You're doing what you should be doing on Halloween.
I know, that's literally the whole point of Halloween, is to feel a little bit less settled in where you are.
The point of Halloween is to just bamboozle people.
To just bamboozle people.
In a scary way.
You just gotta creep them out. You gotta give them a little bit to shiver over.
Halloween is meant to feel ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Little cheeky reminders of mortality. Wee.
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die one day. Get ready. Diggs might reanimate your corpse. Also, this year I want to go ham for Halloween.
Halloween 2020, since we weren't going out anywhere, my girlfriend and I just, like, hung out at home, and mm-hmm. so we did 8 different outfits for Halloween.
Incredible.
Including, but not limited to, Annabeth Chase and Percy Jackson.
Yep.
Jack and Annie from the Magic Tree House.
Amazing, yep.
Jean Ralphio and Mona Lisa Saperstein from Parks and Rec. Don't Incredible. Ask us why there's so many siblings on this list. That's not your business.
We're not gonna talk about it, yeah.
Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Yep. This Halloween was definitely a little bit cheap for me. I just did dress how you would dress to go to your own funeral. Your own funeral chic. So it was a lot of, like, slicked hair. It was, like, coven chic, dress how you would dress to go to your own funeral, so.
I love that.
Yeah, like, and don't get me wrong, great for parties, but I want to dress up, you know?
Yeah, I want to lose my fucking mind.
Speaking of dressing up, I especially like to dress up in my normal skin when I pretend to be not an angel while I'm walking around in my meat suit.
Yeah, this one is probably you, TBH.
Oh, I didn't mean that to say that.
No,
it is.
I know. I just...
I like this trope a lot.
Yeah, this is you.
The thing is, you know how Herbert West is like the timeless force of bad science?
Yeah.
That's you.
Victor before him, Moreau after, yeah.
Yeah, so there is like this almost, you know, extra entity of bad science that just kind of gets reincarnated through this cycle and is also Herbert West and is also everything. That's you, the force of bad science. So that bit's on you.
But that's just like past hand to hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I guess that's kind of how tropes are, eh?
Got him.
Reincarnations of past existences that thread media together in a cosmic coil of chaotic art.
Yeah.
And that's the tea.
Whereas Angel Unaware, I think, is, it's not like a new person carries the mantle. It is the thing.
Yeah.
It is a more unending representation.
Bombadil. Yeah. Also, between both of us, usually often cast as Angel is me. Between.
Right. Yeah. You're more also more likely to be an entity, where I'm more likely to get fucking got by an entity.
Yeah, to get mixed up with an entity, which is almost like what your life is right now. Anyway, so next trope.
Yes. The next trope is talking in your sleep.
Talking in your sleep! Grand!
I mean, I don't feel like I have to explain this trope. It's when a character talks in their sleep.
Yeah.
Either as just the bit of them talking in their sleep, or to give information in their sleep.
Which
or...
is, can I say how lazy this trope is? Because, and again, we're not here to make you hate on tropes, but this is a lazy trope. Because you know how people are like, oh yeah, I dreamt about the thing that happened the day of? That rarely happens to me. But even rarer is the idea that I would like reveal tangible, intelligible secrets in my sleep. Bullshit.
Right.
I call bullshit. They're just like, man, I hope that they don't find the secret treasure chest of the blah blah. I'm like, do you know how long somebody sleeps? How long were you watching that person sleep before they revealed that little nugget of sleep? And they mumble. You know, people mumble.
Yeah. I don't mind it in media when it's like a character revealing their like real feelings about something. Like, I don't mind it.
Right.
Like, not to use this as the example, but like in Half-Blood Prince, specifically like the movie version, Ron's unconscious and he says Hermione in his sleep.
See, that right? makes sense. And I'm okay with that.
I don't mind that. Like, that's fine.
Especially because it's possible that he could have been like in a half-waking, half-sleeping thing. And the first person he thought about was Hermione.
And it's all in tone. He's not saying like in his sleep, oh, I love Hermione. He's just saying her name.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it could be a completely bullshit, like, Harry and Hermione and I went to Hogsmeade, and in my dream, Hermione was turning into a horse.
Right,
and,
right.
You know,
right.
His thoughts are towards her.
Right, right, yeah.
And just so I don't get called out for getting, yes, in Deathly Hallows, Ron learns Parseltongue from Harry because he talks in his sleep. Yes, I remember. We all know.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
I'm covering my fucking bases.
That's fair. That is fair.
Constantly happens in Percy Jackson.
Oh,
this is just like, this is just the bit of it. Like, literally the first thing that Annabeth ever says to Percy is, you talk in your sleep.
Which is so good. And it doesn't necessarily have to be revealing information in sleep. It could just be talking
in sleep. Simply is mumbling in his sleep. Yeah. He never, like, says anything in his sleep that's, like, helpful. Which is honestly funny because, like, the Half-Bloods are the ones having, like, the prophetic dream things.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think he'd be thrashing, like, ah, Grover's trapped on an island making a wedding dress. Like...
But that's the thing. It's not always going to be, oh, let me reveal this little nugget of information. It's also just, like, kind of really endearing when people talk in their sleep and they mumble.
Yeah,
and I don't know about you, but I love hearing, like, if I've ever spoken in my sleep.
I am so active in my... I sleep talk, I sleep walk, I sleep yell, I'll have full conversations, I have night terrors, I have sleep paralysis.
Yeah, you do not go gentle into that good night.
I can climb ladders, go downstairs, undo locks, turn on showers.
Yeah.
So you hate it when characters reveal information in their sleep. Just across the board?
Well, generally.
What about Lady Macbeth?
Well, when does that happen?
Her soliloquy, when she's washing her hands.
Oh, when she's
all technically a sleepwalk.
Is it?
Yeah. Not everyone plays it that way, but it's technically, she's like unaware of what's going on around her. So she's either in a trance or asleep.
I always thought it as like just a, you know, just a not quite lucid moment. Well, you know what? If it's Shakespeare, then I guess I can give him a pass because he's fucking dead.
I thought you were gonna say because he's earned it.
No, because he's fucking dead and I'm not gonna shit talk him while he's fucking in the ground.
I love shit talking dead people.
Oh man, see, like, don't get me wrong, it's an easy target, but I like them to fight back. And Willie Shakes, he can't. The chump is
Andrew Jackson can huff my shorts.
Again, Andrew Jackson can't fight back. And listen, don't get me wrong, the man sucks shit, much like Shakespeare.
Oh, wait.
I'm absolutely kidding. I love Shakespeare.
Whoa.
I really do. I just like to pick fights with random historical ghosts just in the hopes that maybe one of them will visit me. Preferably Shakespeare.
Hey, fuck you, Amelia Earhart. I definitely don't care about where you are and why it was being eaten by crabs.
Hey, Henry Clay, fuck you running. I hate you so much. Don't you dare even think. Hypatia of Alexandria, don't you dare visit me. Don't do it. No.
The Library of Alexandria doesn't manifest in my room tonight.
Oh, no. Oh, I hate it. I hate Hypatia so much. Ooh, what a stinky, stinky mess. Mathematician.
Oh my god.
Tempting the ghosts of history. Every year you're like, hey, fuck you. Who's the guy? Who's the Morse code guy from the Titanic?
Oh, Phillips?
Yeah, fuck you, Phillips. Don't you dick.
I thought you meant the inventor of Morse code, and I'm like,
Morse?
Probably.
Most likely Morris. Fuck you, Phillips. We hate you so much.
Jack Phillips. Yeah, fuck you, Jack Phillips. You're definitely not cool. Don't come tell me about your cool time you had at your great Atlantic pool party.
Yeah, your stellar, super cool pool pool party.
Your really cold pool party that you didn't fucking invite me to.
Your chilly, chilly pool party.
Don't you hate it when your friends are like, come to this pool party, and then you're like, guys, there's literally ice in the water, and they're like, what are you, a coward like JP Morgan who wouldn't get on the fucking shit?
Wow.
And then you have to.
Yeah, and then you have
to. This whole time you've been JJ Aspen.
Oh, so, like, and it's so awkward, because, like, at the end, you're just like, well, this was a lame pool party, and they're just like, yeah, we knew it was going to be a lame pool party, and we did trick you into coming so that JP Morgan could have a better time.
Yeah, so that he could bail out America and get his idea through.
Yeah.
My cousin works for JP Morgan.
My uncle works for JP Morgan.
Oh my god, maybe they're friends.
It's not impossible.
Do you think that people who do money for a living are capable of human emotion?
Well, so here's the thing. I actually have never seen it, but I've heard tales that every once in a while they'll chuckle at a sexist joke. And that, that sometimes seems a little bit like an emotion.
That seems like an emotion.
Yeah, it almost seems like feelings.
That's crazy. Uh-huh. Only girls have feelings.
Only girls.
It's why they can't drive.
Yeah, thank God that gender is binary and one of them is emotion and the other one is rocks.
Logic.
is logic and a big rock.
Yeah.
It's boy things. We've got cigars. We've got planks of wood. We've got hoses.
Look.
What?
Gender isn't real, but the second I went on testosterone, all I wanted to do was watch Let's Play YouTubers.
Yo, there we go.
It really do be like, testosterone, and time to watch Markiplier for 4 hours.
That could be a puberty thing, because I also had I had a very big Let's Play phase when I was going through puberty. I think there's something about those chaotic masculine voices.
I used to love Hank Green's wife that played Skyward Sword.
I definitely find it more interesting when people who aren't
when they're not like known for it.
Yeah. So who is the talking in your sleep? It's you, because you walk in your sleep. You also you know got that Will Graham energy. He has Will Graham energy. Will Graham energy. Yeah, he has Will Graham energy. Do you think that maybe you might kill your surrogate daughter in your sleep?
What if I have?
Right, but that's, like, yeah, so, like, maybe can I just convince you that you killed your surrogate daughter in your sleep?
Please don't.
Please don't. I've got such a tentative grasp on reality as is.
No, like, literally. If you could tell me, like, earlier today, Diggs, you did X, Y, and Z, and I would be like, shit, really?
Oh, no. Oops.
Whoopsie. Also, you would have the first hurdle of convincing me that I have a daughter.
Well, I mean,
because I only have sons right now.
That's fair. Except for that one daughter, you know?
I only have sons.
Diggs, did you forget about your daughter?
No, because my only daughter passed away recently, and she was a fish.
Well, did you kill her? Did you kill her while you were sleeping, Diggs?
No, I was I was watching Supernatural in another room.
I don't know. Sounds kind of sus to me.
Do you mean fishy? And that's gonna do it for us today on Genre Blind. If you liked the podcast, don't forget to follow us and subscribe to us and review us on iTunes. If you like it, you can follow us on Instagram at Genre Blind Podcast or at AnnieDTArt or Memento Mortsafe on both Instagram and TikTok. I've been drinking wine directly out of the bottle.